Hello and welcome to the CGF podcast. My name is Louise Chester. I work in the communications team at the Consumer Goods Forum, and this is the latest episode in the first series of our podcast where we delve behind the scenes of our work and we share our thoughts about the challenges facing the industry, the planet, and its people. The Consumer Goods Forum is a CEO-led organization that helps the world's retailers and consumer goods manufacturers to collaborate alongside other key stakeholders to secure consumer trust and drive positive change. Today, I have the pleasure of welcoming two guests to the podcast, Hugo Burns, Vice President of Product Integrity at Ahold Delhaize, and Vineet Khanna, Senior Vice President and Global Head of Supply Chain at Nestle. Hugo and Vineet are both co-chairs of the CGF's Sustainable Supply Chain Initiative. So the SSCI has recently published its first set of benchmarking criteria, which focuses on the processing and manufacturing scope. I want to take this opportunity to talk to Hugo and Vineet to find out everything there is to know about the initiative from the two people who've been there since the start. Hello, Vineet and Hugo. Thank you very much for taking the time out of what I'm sure are very busy schedules to talk to me today. How are you both?
Very good. Hello, Louise, and hello, Hugo.
Yeah, me as well, and nice to be able to do this.
Great. So I'm going to start with you, Vineet. We've been talking a lot about the Sustainable Supply Chain Initiative over the past months, but maybe our listeners don't know as much as we do. So maybe could you tell us what SSCI is all about?
Yes, Louise. I would say two words come to my mind to begin with, transparency and trust. Overall, the aim of SSCI is to provide transparency and build trust in the sustainability standards globally. More specifically, the focus of SSCI is on in third-party auditing and certification schemes. For example, as a buyer, one may often wonder that, can I really trust the auditor certification report that I get from a particular scheme? Or how can I find out more information about schemes which are trustworthy, which are credible, and which are robust? And this is where SSCI comes in, because SSCI provides a solution through an independent benchmarking process of the schemes. And as an outcome of this process, SSCI will recognize those audit or certification schemes that complete the process which is specified and meet all the benchmarking criteria to the satisfaction of the scheme. So that's what overall SSCI is all about.
Okay, so why do you think that this is really important for the industry?
Yeah, if we step back, we would all recognize that driving sustainability in the end-to-end supply chain is critical for the industry. And I think the importance on this aspect is increasing more and more with all the stakeholders asking for clarity and transparency on the sustainability in the end-to-end supply chain. You would also notice that this shows up in the time and the resources which industry is investing in driving a robust, responsible sourcing strategy, which all the stakeholders are demanding. Now, this responsible sourcing strategy is obviously a big term, and there are a number of tools which industry uses for ensuring responsible sourcing. And one of them, of course, in the toolkit is the auditing and the third-party auditing and certification schemes. So SSCI is really helping the industry in ensuring the supply chain due diligence by making sure that the industry can make a good and the informed choice about the right third-party auditing or certification schemes. So the SSCI is providing guidance to buyers, in fact, even to suppliers as well, on which schemes have the right criteria, which are important from the industry perspective, which schemes are applying the robust governance practices and in scheme management, and also which schemes are also doing the sound verification practices. So therefore, it's really important for the industry. In fact, it can go even beyond that. If we look at other benefits for the industry, as an example, audit duplication. audit duplication, if it is reduced, it reduces the complexity and reduces the cost associated with the supply chain due diligence for the industry. And we have taken inspiration from Global Food Safety Initiative, which Hugo knows very well because he was associated with it almost since the beginning, I think. The GFSI has demonstrated significant benefits in the reduction of audit duplication, amongst other things. So that's one more benefit for the industry, which we foresee from the SSCI process. By the way, we have taken a lot of lessons from GFSI, which we can talk about subsequently. Another thing I would say, which is important for the industry, is that the requirements of sustainability and what is expected from the industry is evolving and will keep evolving in the near future as well. Now, one more aspect of SSCI is to ensure continuous improvement of the schemes to make sure that we are able to incorporate what the stakeholders are looking for, what's important for the industry, and what, for example, comes in the Consumer Goods Forum resolutions. So incorporating all those needs into the schemes would be another important thing for the industry. And that's where SSCI will also play an important role in form of continuous improvement of the various schemes.
So thank you, Vineet. Hugo, you're coming from a retail company, from Ahold Delhaize. Why is SSCI particularly important for retailers? Could you give us a bit of that perspective?
Sure. Well, obviously, transparency of supply chains is equally important for manufacturers as it is for retailers. Mm-hmm. But retailers have the additional challenges of, first of all, having a very wide scope of products that that is under their attention. Products coming from wine, products coming from textiles, and all these sectors have their own schemes that they audit, that their companies audit against. And that makes it very complex to compare the results of all these schemes and how good are these schemes, actually. And having worked on social compliance for quite a few years, it was always our challenge to find out, so what is it actually that we're looking at? How good or how bad is it? How robust has the audit been? And in the past, it required our own work to compare, first of all, the requirements in the schemes, but then also try to make an assessment of the robustness of the auditing part of the scheme. And like Vineet said, that is something that we solved years ago with GFSI for food safety schemes. And it's time now that we solve it for social compliance schemes and maybe in the future environmental schemes as well, so that companies not individually have to make these assessments, but that we can rely on assessments jointly done by the group, by SFCI, which, by the way, also provides us with a level playing field. I see many benefits, and it will certainly help us in our work.
Great. I truly hope that it does. So Hugo, I do have another question for you. What, in your opinion, makes SSCI different to all the other initiatives that your company's been part of over the years?
Yes, and we have actually been part of many different initiatives.
Well, I can imagine.
You ask for the difference, but interestingly enough, and Vineet already said it, there are also similarities. So GFSI is a benchmarking system for food safety standards, and this is what we aim to achieve with SSCI for sustainability schemes. But then that is exactly what SSCI is. There are lots of initiatives that work on the sustainability of a particular commodity or on of a particular supply chain. SSCI tries to cover all these different products, all these different suppliers, but with a very clear focus to look at the schemes, to compare the schemes, and to say these are the schemes that you can use as a company to have a proper audit, a proper report on what the status is of these companies. And in that sense, the I would say the difference is the very wide scope that SSCI is able to cover from a product point of view, but obviously then focusing on sustainability.
Okay, so I've seen, as I've been following this process for the past couple of years, that so much work has gone on behind the scenes to bring this initiative to fruition. So a question for both of you, I'd like to hear what's been your biggest takeaways from the journey? I'll let you decide who goes first.
Oh, maybe I'll start and then hand over to Hugo, yes, who has much longer experience in this journey than I've had. First of all, the journey is still in the early stages because we have arrived at what I would call the very first milestone. But beyond this, there is a lot more work to be done, and perhaps that we can cover in the rest of the conversation. So it's still the very beginning of the journey. From my perspective, the journey has been, I must say, very interesting and full of learnings. I would, however, start by saying that I found all the stakeholders were aligned on the goals and the principles of sustainability. Mm-hmm. Everyone wants to do good and they want to do the right things. And I think that's good news and that's very important. I don't think we needed to spend too much time on aligning what we're doing and why we're doing and why it's important and the principles around it. So that part was good and good to see that everybody is very well engaged. At the same time, I would say that we needed to invest a lot of time in aligning how part of it, how to achieve these goals. And I cannot overemphasize the importance of investing time in widespread consultation with various stakeholders at various stages and a number of times, almost constant engagement and constant communication to make sure that we are all aligned in the how part and the details of execution. At the same time, I would emphasize the word investment of time because it was really investment of time, simply because when you're doing something which has long-term benefits for everyone, for the industry as a whole, and the long-term benefits of having an aligned approach are so significant, some of the points which Hugo and I have covered already, that it was worth investing all that time in the process. Also, as we've said before, that one should realize that we don't need to reinvent the wheel. There is a lot of learning possible from similar initiatives which have been done in the past, which entailed a multi-stakeholder engagement, a multi-stakeholder consultation alignment, and coming to something which is good for everyone, but aligned with all the stakeholders. And GFSI gave us almost a perfect example of what to do, what not to do. And we use that example in our entire journey to make sure that we can move forward faster and we don't reinvent the wheel. So that has been my takeaway in the journey so far. At the same time, as the journey expands further, there are a lot more new chapters which are going to get added to this journey. And we will have more learnings as we go forward. But it's all good. It's good for, we're doing it for the right cause. And I look forward to the next steps of the journey with a lot of optimism as well.
Yes, and if there's one thing that I've learned is that, having worked on GFSI, we had our discussions about food safety and what should the level of protection be that we offered through the benchmark schemes. That certainly is more complex when you look at sustainability, because sustainability, I suppose, is a less precise description of what it should be. You can have different ideas about what sustainability is. So yes, we needed all those consultations that Vineet spoke about. But then the takeaway is that probably then makes working on SSCI and doing those benchmarks all the more important, because it is about alignment and it is about getting a common agreement on some of these issues that are covered by the schemes. And probably the biggest takeaway is that we actually achieved to find that alignment and come up with a set of requirements.
Fantastic, thank you. So what are the next steps for SSCI? What should we be looking out for in the coming months?
Well, if I may start on that one, but Vineet may have additional ideas. First of all, the scope of what we've done so far has been about manufacturing. Mm-hmm. And that already is a very wide scope because, again, it can be about food, it can be about non-food, it covers quite a lot. But the obvious next step then is to also look at agriculture. And in fact, we've had members on our steering committee who told us, yeah, we are there because we are there for agriculture, because we process products that we buy from farms, or at least from cooperatives or wholesalers who are connected to those farms. And that in itself opens a new world, and will open a new world for us once we go and look into agriculture. Because obviously issues are different there. Farms can have all sizes, and some farms have many workers occupied. Other farms are quite small, and the issues, therefore, the social issues are therefore different. But it will be very interesting to look at which requirements can we more or less copy from the manufacturing scope, and which are the ones that we now need to look at from scratch. And then I suppose the obvious next step is that the one sector that you cannot cover with manufacturing or agricultural schemes, and that is what happens on the water. Yes, there is aquaculture, there's fish farming, probably can be covered by agriculture, but we will look into that. But then there's fisheries, that is really the boats that go out on the sea and the wild catch of seafood. And there we have a brand new challenge, because there is maybe one scheme that is now going to be applied that could cover these fisheries. It's at the very beginning stages, in other words. And it will be very interesting to both look at development of the schemes, which is something that we won't do, but we will monitor it. And then for us to develop the requirements for those schemes to be able to do the benchmarking.
So further to what Hugo said about the next steps, the next step, another important dimension would be the environmental sustainability, because so far in the primary production space, we've talked about the social compliance or the social sustainability, but we're going to add the environmental compliance and sustainability aspects, but that will follow at second stage, not immediately.
Great. So I have a final question, and it's more a sort of personal one. I like to ask everybody who comes on the CGF podcast, what keeps you inspired and motivated to keep doing the jobs that you're doing? So who'd like to start, Vineet?
Okay, yeah, I'll start. Well, there are many things I could talk about, and I would pick up one, which is desire to make a difference, which incidentally translates to a three-letter acronym, MAD, M-A-D. I think it's a desire to do a bit of good and use one's capabilities to make a difference. I grew up in India and witnessed a lot of challenges of poverty, of inequality, the issues that we talk about, the environmental sustainability and human rights, I've witnessed firsthand for a long period of time. At the same time, I have always had strong optimism that a lot of these challenges can be mitigated significantly, and in fact, they can be solved. If we have the right leadership, if we have the right resources, if we do the right things. So this conviction that these challenges can be solved keeps me going. So personally speaking, whenever I participate in the SSCI discussions and have had some challenges on discussions and alignment, I always keep in mind the fact that we're doing the right things. And what we are doing is going to benefit a lot of people and the society as a whole. And therefore, it is all worth it. It's worth investing time in communication. It's worth investing time in doing these right things. because eventually it lead to good results for a lot of people and for the society as a whole. So that's one of the things which keeps me going.
And Louise, I'll give you an example. Yesterday, I spoke at my old university. It was a lecture on, it was environmental, environment and the law.
Okay.
The point was that there was one speaker from an NGO, and I must say a constructive NGO, and I was speaking there. And much to the surprise of the audience, we were quite in agreement, and I suppose they had organized it to make it slightly conflicting, but it wasn't. And I ended up concluding when asked by one of the students, I said, yeah, there's two things you can do. You can be on the outside and bang on the door of a company and say, you can do things differently. And I said, and I always appreciate it if they come up with, you know, good ideas, and we should support them by coming up with these good ideas. You can also be on the inside and make the change from inside out. And I think the kind of issues we're working on, whether it's food safety or environment or social compliance, it's great to be able to work on those and great to be able to make the change, so to speak, from the inside out. And that's really what motivates me.
Thank you very much for your time today, both of you. It's been a real pleasure.
Thank you, Louise, and thank you, Hugo.
Yeah, thank you very much, both.
Thank you for tuning into this episode. For any listeners who would like to find out more about the Sustainable Supply Chain Initiative, you can visit our website at www.theconsumergoodsforum.com. We've just published the benchmarking requirements online, so you'll be able to find that in the SSCI section of the site. If you enjoyed the episode, please do subscribe to the podcast for more episodes coming very soon.